Contractors, I guess that's could be Rick to cover that.
Remind him on something, tell him the other fellow, that Pioneer.
Yeah, and I'm not sure why it's on the list unless somebody had some specific questions, but generally, when you have a ruling and include that request that a letter go out, I try to do those the same time I do the findings of fact.
Okay.
Because I usually have a note on my notes about that. There are some limitations, though, like the ones that don't ever come back and turn in the contractor, but somebody big and local, and I know who they are, can find them easily. That's one thing, but there's so many fly-by-night contractors around these days and different companies. If it's somebody like that, and I don't know who it is, and they don't turn in the number, then obviously the letter never goes out.
So can we stipulate that the variance is approved once that information is provided to the office?
That's a question we're going to ask you too. Can we put
that's certainly
stipulation
possible,
to it, like that?
The variance will take effect as
until such time you turn in the name and address.
And typically, that ought to be way before the findings are done, because I wait for the minutes to get done, which actually come out pretty quick these days. But when the minutes come in, that's what I use to start working on my findings of fact.
Okay.
But it's usually a good 30 days. So in June, for example, this month, I'm doing the findings for the meetings in May. And so I generally keep about 30 days up on that. But so, and typically, the people leave the meeting. Most of the good ones will call in the next day or two.
Right.
But there are a few who you never hear from, like, you know, this one today, maybe, or one last week or something. And if that happens, there's not a whole lot I can do with it. The other thing I would like to clamp down on, or at least make a point to ask is, you know, who secured the permits and who was responsible for the building. We usually do that, but one thing I hate is getting a call back from one of these contractors that said, you know, I didn't have anything to do with it. All I did was deliver the thing. They got the permit. They told me where they wanted it, et cetera. And the letter that I sent out is kind of a nasty letter and tells them, you know, the board could easily have turned that down. You'd have been responsible for correcting the problem and things like that. And I always hate to find out after the fact that, in fact, it's the applicant who has perhaps misled the board.
Okay.
Too, so.
But I would think a contractor, it would be, you know, his responsibility to know or find out what the setback requirements are on anything he's building.
Well, it's funny, there we had that come up in a case in my office not too long ago where there was a problem and nobody knew who was supposed to get the permit. And fact was, no permit was secured. So the contractor thought the owner got it, the owner thought the contractor got it. Neither one ends up getting it. And there are certain laws in some of the municipalities that specifically say the contractor has to apply or the owner has to sign off on it or something like that. But it does vary from town to town and area to area.
You know,
and I agree, a good contractor would look at that in advance and would know he needed a permit and would presumably double check that. But again, you don't have to be a good contractor to be licensed, and there's a lot of them that aren't so hot operating these days.
So maybe a suggestion to county council that they require the contractor to get to secure the permit.
Right. That'd be a good idea.
Let me tell you a little something to add to that. You don't get involved with FEMA. You don't get involved in flood zones. Now, they have certain restrictions to meet, okay, when they're in a flood zone, like setbacks for the county. We enforce FEMA's rules. FEMA says that you go after, if there's anything wrong, the homeowner. He doesn't say anything about the builder. It goes right after the homeowner. And I think it says in our ordinance the same thing, that the homeowner is responsible for anything that happens on his property.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to make it so, you know, you give them something, the inspector something, that when you do walk into a FEMA situation where you have a flood zone at the beach and they're not meeting the breakaway walls, they're not meeting all the restrictions that may come in, the number of venting, all this kind of stuff, along with the setbacks. Anything within that whole requirement of that site is what the responsibility is going to be of the homeowner, or they won't issue a CO.
Yeah, well, that's true of everything. I mean, you hold the owner responsible. I mean, they're the ones coming in for the variance.
Right.
And if they don't get it, that's their problem.
You know, and builders will say, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this whole thing about sending the letter to the contractors is just something we started to do years ago because we're trying, we're trying to be sympathetic to the homeowner, it kind of gets taken to the cleaners.
So it's curbed a lot of contractors continuing to just break the rules, too.
Yeah.
You know,
and the only other one, let me say this, John, before I forget it, because I probably will. The only other thing I would like you to keep in mind when you do those is the timing. You know, we've had a few where, you know, and a lot more of these violations are coming in nowadays are from things that happened years and years ago, you know, sometimes as long as 20 years, sometimes 8 to 10. And I would think if we're 8 to 10 years removed from the problem taking place, I'm not sure that's an appropriate time to send a letter to a contractor. I mean, let's face it, he's not going to remember that job in all likelihood. So I would think we ought to keep it to, you know, 2 to 3 years max. And I think most of them are going to be, but I would prefer not to get into having to send something that's
15,
that old,
20 years old.
And where the guy may not even be in business anymore.
Right. I agree.
All right. Excuse me.
So we're still writing to the...
Still writing to them.
Right, John's right.
It has had an effect, and you know we get them in here after a couple times. And I said something to somebody a couple meetings ago and said, you know, we've not heard from your company, you know, in years. You guys have been doing real well. Now all of a sudden you've gotten two violations in the last 3 months, and you know hopefully that's not a trend. And the guy was very apologetic and very sincere
right.
about it. And I think it does help sometimes
yes.
when you
yeah.
scold them a little bit once in a while.
Well, it even goes down into the ranks, like I'm saying, the inspector knows that he has received a letter also, so he's well aware of what's going on.
And what I do when I send the letter out, I try to send a copy over to the board's office with the file number so that they'll have it to
right.
stick in the file in case there's something else that comes up on that.
Okay, the next thing on the agenda, gentlemen, is the sign.